Welcome to another inspirational message from Hillsong Church, London.
I do believe I have a word from God for your life tonight. Look with me in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is where I want to go. And I think they've got a little prop for me. But go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to preach tonight about the mirror. And I want you to look in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll begin reading with verse 17. But the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed in the same image. What image? The one that we see in the mirror. Well, what is the mirror? James chapter 1 said that the Word of God is like a mirror that shows you who you are and who God is. And when we look into the Word and we behold as a mirror the glory of the Lord, it transforms us, being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. My sermon tonight in this service is going to be a little bit different. I'm going to stick a little more to telling you a story up front because it so illustrates a true story that I'm going to share with you that became a best-selling book and is being made into a movie. I want you to listen to this story intently, and it's going to speak some life principles and lessons that you may never forget if it impacts you like this story impacted me. In the nation of Colombia in South America, there was a little girl by the name of Marina Chapman. She was somewhere between 4 and 5 years of age. She can't really remember. She was playing in her backyard by herself, and she was kidnapped. A stranger picked her up. She doesn't remember much. A bag was placed over her head instantly that had some kind of chemical that made her go unconscious. She remembered a sweaty arm. She remembered a rough hand, and she was going in and out of consciousness as she was taken. She would come awake as she was being taken deeper and deeper and deeper into the Colombian jungle. She tells in this book that I'll tell you the title of in just a moment. And by the way, she now lives in your nation, England. But she tells the story of how that as a 4-year-old to 5-year-old, let's say 5 years of age, as this kidnapper is dragging her deeper and deeper and deeper for hours and hours and hours into the jungle, the thorns are tearing her flesh, and she remembers in and out of consciousness being abused. Her hands were tied, a hood over her face. After she was abused and misused, she was thrown down in a jungle just before nightfall like a piece of trash. She remembers hearing, with her head still covered, she hears the feet of the abuser as he runs away and yet gets further and further. And there this abused, traumatized child, trembling, broken, afraid, terrorized, somehow manages to get her hands free from the rope after a long time. Now nightfall has come and she finally gets the veil or the cover off of her face. And she's trembling, and she said in the book that she starts crying out. She remembers crying out for her mother. And you can imagine, it's just a pitiful story. Under a bush, she found a bush and got up under the bush in the rainforest in Colombia. And she trembled all night at the strange sounds of the jungle and the darkness. The next morning, she prayed that someone would come, mom, dad, somebody would find her, but nobody found her. She had no water. She had no food. Another day. And then the third day, she was in desperate shape. And she said that as she was laying there and trembling, that a troop of monkeys noticed her. True story. A troop of monkeys noticed her. And at first, they came at her aggressively. They surrounded her, and they heard her whimpering, and they were drawn to it. They sensed weakness, and she said that she put her head between her knees and trembled. And they would come up and probe and pull her hair, and like animals would do, they would charge her and threaten and beat their chest and so on. But finally, the curiosity left the monkeys, and they just went back to their normal routine. But they left her a little fruit and some nuts, just enough to eat. And then she, out of loneliness, you can imagine a five-year-old child. Come on, a five-year-old child is so lonely that she began to follow these monkeys in the jungle. And she began to live basically learning how to live in the jungle by monkey see, monkey do. She would watch what they ate and she would eat it. She would watch how they used big leaves to catch, this is her own words, catching the rain in the rainforest, because she didn't know where the river was, where water was. And they would catch the rain with a big leaf and turn it up and drink it, and she would do the same. And she began to live by monkey see, monkey do. Now, this is the amazing part of the story. It's been verified and documented. The National Geographic is doing a thing on it even as I speak. But the amazing thing is the 3 days turned into 3 months. And the months turned into 10 years. For 10 years, she actually moved up into the trees, found a canopy in the trees with the monkeys, and was so accepted, she became a part of this troop of monkeys. What we can't imagine is for 10 years, no conversations, no parents, no human contact, no clothes, no education. This child began to live what was so unbelievable that something snapped in her mind. She lost all, somewhere, something mentally broke, and she forgot everything about her past. She even lost the ability to remember how to speak in her language. She got to a point that her new form of communication, in her own words, was through grunts and growls and the beating of the ground, just like monkeys communicate with one another. 14 years of age, up in a tree, living with monkeys, has not seen a human being in 10 years and thinks that she is a part of the monkeys that she's hanging out with. And one day, she, from the elevated position of a tree, looks out. And by the way, I got to tell you this. She said one of her favorite things to do, now she's a grandmother. She has grandkids. This has a happy ending. But one of her favorite things to do with her grandkids is climb trees. She's 60-something years old, and she climbs trees and likes to be up high in the trees. And she said she likes to pick at her granddaughter's hair like the monkeys used to pick at her hair. Come on. Y'all with me? You with me? Everybody okay? Good. So she's looking out from this elevated tree, and she sees something shiny on the floor of the jungle. Curiosity gets her. She goes down, and like an animal would do, she approaches what she sees cautiously laying on the floor of the jungle. And when she picks it up, she puts it in her mouth and bites it, wondering, this is strange. What is this? And suddenly, as she holds it at a certain angle, she realizes it's alive because it has eyes and a mouth, and it's moving, and she dropped it and scurried off. But curiosity brought her back, and it didn't move, and she pushed at it, and it didn't move, but she picked it up, and it was a mirror. And she realized suddenly that for the first time in her life, according to her words, now this isn't a religious book, but now I'm about to preach a religious sermon out of this book. Now, this is my part of the story now. But she said, this is her words, for the first time in her life, when she looked into the mirror that she found in the jungle, it dawned on her, I'm not one of them. It dawned on her, for the first time, I'm not supposed to be like them. All of my life I've tried to be like them. I always knew something was different. I couldn't put my finger on it. But now I see through the mirror, I'm not one of them. I don't know what I am yet, but I know what I'm not. And I'm not one of them anymore because I've seen something in the mirror that showed me a glimpse of who I really am. I'm saying to you tonight that the mirror, for the first time, revealed to her that she was not like the crowd she was running with. There came an awareness, I've spent my whole life trying to be like them, but I'm not born to be like them. That's why it doesn't satisfy me when I do monkey see, monkey do. I end up empty because something inside says I was made for more than monkey business. Months later, a remote tribe was hunting in that jungle, and for the first time, when she saw another human being, she instantly thought, that's what I am. She jumped out of the tree, ran to these men. They took her to the village, and to make a long story short, she wrote a book called The Girl with No Name. What's interesting is just a year and a half ago, National Geographic went back with her into the jungle deep, and it's probably not the same place because she can't remember, but they found a troop of monkeys, and she went back in there, and they're shooting a special about her story. It was the mirror that revealed, listen to me carefully now, that I'm not what they say I am. It's the mirror that revealed that I was not born for the jungle. I always thought something was different, but now I've caught a glimpse of who I really am. See, the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that we all with open face behold the glory of God. And when we take the word of God, which is the mirror, and we behold Jesus in it, suddenly we get a glimpse of who we're made in the image of. Ladies and gentlemen, the most important thing you will ever encounter in your life is the Word of God. It is the mirror in the jungle we call this world. And the most of the world spends their whole life playing monkey see, monkey do. But when you ever get the Word of God preached to you with power and anointing, it starts showing you glimpses of who you really are. You were not born for addiction. You were not born for shame. You were not born for defeat. You were not born to be a victim. You were born to be triumphant. You are a child of God. You are wonderfully and beautifully made, and you see it only when you look into the mirror of God's Word. The Word of God is so powerful because the world we're living in, ladies and gentlemen, has gone crazy. It's a jungle. They don't know what's right and what's wrong. They don't know what's male and what's female. They don't know anything. We're living in a jungle. It's monkey see, monkey do. And the world says, and the monkeys in the jungle say, live like this, look like this, accept this, be this. But I'm so thankful for the mirror of the Word of God that says, through the Word of God, that there's a difference between the clean and the unclean. There's a difference between the righteous and the unrighteous. Oh, this is an old-fashioned sermon. There's a difference between the holy and the unholy. And the more I look into this book, I start seeing, I may start out a mess, but I'll come to church and Gary will get up and preach a message and the Holy Spirit will say, now let's work on that temper. And then you'll see something else and you say, oh my God, I'm getting so holy. And then the word of preaching, God will say, how you treating your wife? How you treating your husband? How's your character? How's your temper? Hey, what about that addiction? What about that private sin? What about that sexual shame? The word of God. God keeps changing you from glory unto glory. Let's give the Lord a praise for the word. Oh, does anybody remember when you were kidnapped by the enemy, bound and without hope, dragged into the jungle? The jungle tried to redefine who you are. But a preacher, a singer, a teacher, a believer, a friend spoke the word, and instantly, through a sermon, through a song, for the first time, you saw yourself. You saw the real you. You saw what God created you to be. And he didn't show you a picture of somebody beat up and tore up from the floor up and defeated and can't have a relationship and can't be victorious and can't be successful. If you want to see depression, don't look in this book. If you want to see a defeated you, because if you'll keep looking in this book, I don't care what your present circumstances are, this book will never show you an image of defeat in your life. It'll always tell you, Jesus, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Take a praise break, everybody, and thank God. This book will never show you that you're an addict and you'll never get free. If you'll just keep coming to a church like this, it'll show you freedom, freedom, freedom. If I don't get it today, I'll be there tomorrow. But he's transforming me from glory unto glory. And when the devil keeps reminding you of your past, it's because he's running out of new material. The word, the mirror, shows us glimpses of the greatness God has for us. I remember when it happened to me. I was about 19 years old. I was majoring in music in college. I played saxophone, and I had a full scholarship on the sax. I play jazz, and I can play. I should bring it. I will next time, I promise. But I still play. And but I messed up, and I went to church. And I had my whole life laid out. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that. I was getting offers to play for this one and for that one, and it was just amazing opportunities, and I had some things that I thought I was gonna do with my life and my talent. But one night I went to church, and a preacher got up and he preached about God wants to use you. And suddenly, while I was looking at him, I saw bam. And I saw myself up preaching. The desire had always been there, but I didn't believe I could do it. But the thing about the mirror is it'll show you glimpses of your future. And it'll seem so beyond you. It'll seem so crazy that God would say, and he usually shows you victory in the middle of your defeat. He shows you prosperity while you're in lack. He shows you greater things when you're struggling just to keep your head above water. But that's the power of this word. And we live by faith, not by sight. Come on, give God a praise. I'm going to preach in a minute. Give God a praise. What I love about this story, Gary, is when that woman, this isn't in her book, but I'm going to interpret it. When that woman saw herself for who she really was in the mirror, she was ruined to jungle life. If you ever see who God sees when he looks at you, you'll be ruined to jungle life. Swinging from lover to lover, from bed to bed. My body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. I know the plans I have for you, plans of good and not evil. You're not cheap. You're not of low value. So walk around like a child of the King. I've got a plan. I've got a mate. I've got a purpose. I've got a mission. I've got somebody that I have made on this earth just for you. So I don't have to kiss 1,000 frogs to find one prince. And I sure don't have to sleep with them. Oh, but if you're a teenager, it's monkey see, monkey do. If you're single, you got to play monkey see, monkey do. We date out, we go out, we sleep together, we try it out like a pair of shoes or whatever, you know. That one didn't work. Let's try again. That's the lies of the enemy. When you get a hold of what I'm talking about, you realize that God's plan is so much greater than what the enemy's offering you, and He gives you life and life more abundantly. Somebody get up on your feet and praise God, and I'll be finished in a minute. But get up on your feet and praise God for a better way. I'm done with the jungle. Only joy and peace I can get. The only joy, I just have to calm my nerves. But if you'd get in this book, He'd give you perfect peace. He'd lead you beside the still waters. You wouldn't have to have a narcotic to calm you down. You could have the Holy Spirit. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. You're saying He talks crazy and He looks crazy and He's a wild man. No, I'm just done with the jungle. I'm sitting in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You know, it's not any fun living for Lord when you got one foot in the world and one foot in the church. There's a guy in the Bible, when Paul was preaching in the third loft, y'all have got him here. He fell asleep. So you better listen to this sermon. He fell asleep. You ever read that story? And the Bible said he had one foot outside the window and one foot in the church. Wow. And he fell asleep and fell out and broke his neck. You know what his name was? Eutychus. I tell people, Eutychus too. If you'd have fell out and broke your neck, that's a better joke than you're acting right there. Don't live on the fence. We're being transformed. And when you get transformed, the old things pass away. It's not, I can't do this and I can't do that and legalism and churchy stuff. It's the explosive power of a new affection. See, there's two ways to empty a bucket of water. You can turn it over and spill the water out, or you can take a big old piece of lead and drop it in there. And when you drop something heavier in there, the water just splashes out. You want to know how you get free from addiction and bondage and shame and guilt and condemnation? You get something bigger to drop into your soul. It's not I have to. It's when He hits you, when the Holy Spirit fills you, all of that other stuff goes out because you found something greater than what that had to offer you. Give the Lord another praise. I'll calm down. But give the Lord another praise if you know what I'm preaching. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. But I'm telling you that some of you messed up coming to church tonight. Because God's about to wreck your little jungle life. And you're going to go back to that club and you're going to try to shake it and rub it up and back it up. But something in you is going to say, I don't think I need to do that. Can I preach tonight? If y'all nag me on, I feel like preaching now. I feel crazy now. I do. This is what I do. I have a license to do this. Leave me alone. Turn to somebody and say, you were made for more. You were made for more than addiction. You were made for more than sexual shame. You were made for more than perversion. You were made for more than defeat and depression and discouragement. You were made in the image of God, and He wants you to win. He wants you to win in life. Reign in life. I want to say to the young ladies, I don't want Vogue magazine, People magazine, telling you what beauty is. That unless you look like you're anorexic, you're of no value. You need to look in this book. And it says, you're all right if you don't have a rear end like the Kardashians, or you're all right. God made you like you are. And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Hold your head up. Walk around like the child of God you are. Don't you let the enemy tell you you're worthless and you're nobody and you're nothing. You know how you see yourself reflects how people see you. The Bible said that the 12 spies came back, 10 of them came back and said, we were as grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. If you see yourself as a grasshopper, everybody that you encounter is going to see you as a grasshopper. But if you'll ever see what Jesus sees when he sees you, you won't walk in and look down and can't hardly keep your head up because you're so embarrassed. But the Lord will fill you with confidence and boldness. The righteous are as bold as a lion. And you'll walk right up and if she don't like you and she rejects you when you ask her for a date, you just move on to another one. But there's one out there. Oh, come on. Y'all help me. I'm almost done. Eve, in the Bible, the first sin was the result of an image issue. God said 6 times in Genesis, you're made in the likeness of God. 6 times. But the enemy planted an image issue into Eve's mind. If you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. Well, she already was like God, but the enemy planted a less than God image in her. Don't let the word, of God tell you what beauty is, not what the world says. Quit trying to keep up with everybody and be who God created you to be. Don't let fallen culture define what marriage looks like. You know, when you first get married, it's ideal. Oh, honey, I love you. They come in for counseling. They don't want 2 chairs. They sit in 1 chair. But we're so tight. Honey, bunny, I love you. Sugar booger, I love you. They can't even get through the counseling session without making out. Starts out ideal. 3 months later, there's an ordeal. 3 months later, you get to thinking, this is a raw deal. And by the end of the year, you're ready for a new deal. And that's what monkey see, monkey do theology says. That when the marriage hits the tough times, and every marriage does, you just need to find you somebody else because you're not happy. But I look into this word, and it says, hey, husbands, quit being a jerk. Love your wives. Take out the garbage. Romance her. Go on a date with her. Quit running around with all your buddies and don't have time for it. Come on. And hey, ladies, honor your husband. Show him respect. Show him honor. Well, that was a bigger response for the men than it was for the women. I don't know what's been up with that. I need to start coming to this church. I want Sharice to start coming to this church. That part got a big, did you notice that? Very strange. Don't let the world define who you should marry. Don't let the world define how you raise your kids. Because your kids are going to come to you if you're a parent and say, everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is doing it. All my friends are going and you're abusing me if you don't let me go. Sometimes you have to choose. Are you going to be your best friend to your kid or your dad? Are you going to be their dad? Sometimes they don't need a best friend. They need a parent. And so I go to the mirror and I say, what does this word say? Because my number one responsibility is to get my family to heaven. Don't let a fallen culture tell you what a normal teenager is. I think we need to redefine normal teenager as being a crazy praiser on a Sunday night in London who's not ashamed to leap and dance. That's what's so powerful about Hillsong, is you're totally redefining what normal is, and the world's scratching its head and they can't figure out what's the gimmick, what are they up to. We're up to Jesus. We found the answer, and he brings joy, and joy unspeakable and full of glory. Everybody take a praise break. I'm almost done. Praise the Lord. Woo, I'm glad I found the mirror in the jungle. Where would you be tonight if God hadn't given you a glimpse of a new you? A born again you. A changed you by the blood and the cross. I close with this, but little Marina had one glimpse. Ephesians 1:18, Paul had a prayer that I'm praying tonight. He said, I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened to see the hope of your calling. Some of you are living so much lower than your calling. You're involved with the wrong people. They're not even your friends. It's monkey see, monkey do. I got a feeling, too, that the monkeys knew that she didn't really fit. I think they tolerated her, but deep inside they said, she's crazy. And you know what? I think that some of you have so much Jesus on you that if you ever try to go back, they might start rebuking you, saying, you really don't need to be here. Go back over there to Hillsong on Sunday night and do what God created you to do. Build the church. Listen to this. Last point. I think. 1 John 3 and verse 2. It does not yet appear what we shall be. Listen. But when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. When we start seeing him, it does not yet appear what we shall be. The devil's not afraid of who you are, and he's not afraid of who you used to be, but it terrifies him. He eats Rolaids when he starts thinking about what you can be. If you keep looking at Jesus. And it's a magical mirror. Because James said this. James said that you need to be hearers of the word, or doers of the word, not hearers only. And listen to this. He said, he gives an illustration. He said, for anyone who is a hearer and not a doer is like the person who looks into a mirror. He looks into a mirror. And he sees something on his face. And James said he does nothing about it. Well, how stupid is that? Well, that's when the Word of God, when this is a serious thing I'm doing up here. We aren't playing games in these services. When you sit there and the Holy Spirit shows you something, because the mirror does show you your flaws, but it's a magical mirror, because superimposed over my flaws, I can see the smiling face of Jesus. Saying, when I get through with you, this is what you're going to look like. Perfection. But he'll show you areas of your life. And he says, let's deal with this. Come on, you need some discipline right here. Come on, it's time for this part of your life to change. I can't take you any further into what I've purposed for you until you deal with what I'm showing you. And don't just walk away with that thing on your face. But when the Word shows you, let it transform you. Get broken. Sometimes we don't just need good services where we get, you know, where we just get blessed. Sometimes I like sweet services, but I like those services too every once in a while when the Holy Spirit stings me. I like those services sometimes when I go limping out. because the preacher just smashed my toes like he was reading my mail. And we act like that's a bad thing. Oh, that's law. No, it's not. It's called conviction. It's called being transformed from glory unto glory. And when the Holy Spirit raises issues, you need to get broken before God and say, I surrender all. I don't want part of my life submitted. I want my whole life. And Lord, here I give you myself again. He'll never turn you away when you have that kind of spirit. You can come with all kinds of flaws and failures, and if you keep the kind of spirit that says, nothing is going to keep me from coming back. I want more. I want more. God will never turn you away. Stand to your feet all over this room. Turn to somebody and say, tonight, come on, say it. I deputize you. Come on. Tonight, God's going to show you a glimpse of your future. And you look a whole lot better than you do right now. You look a whole lot more victorious. You look a whole lot more like Jesus where you're going than where you are. Tell them, so don't be discouraged. Don't be depressed. God sees something in you you don't even see in yourself. And he's going to make you into his image.
This is the end of this podcast. We hope you have been challenged and inspired. For more information about Hillsong Church London, please visit hillsong.co.uk.